This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Thanks for being with us. I'm live this afternoon in the Stately Smith Manor Studios. Bear and Jake are back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We're with you till 6 p.m. talking all things Tennessee football and beyond this afternoon. We have a lot to get to. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Russell.
Outstanding, outstanding.
I just blew Jake Miller's mind.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen until usually about 5 minutes after the top four at four.
Yeah.
Are you going to share with the rest of us?
Jake wants to.
Keep that between you and Jake.
I showed Jake the scar.
Oh, I haven't seen the scar yet.
Yeah, I know.
It's only now.
Yeah.
It's only now presentable for the public.
Yeah, I mean, like all the stitches are finally dissolved.
You got to take a picture of that bad boy. Put it on social media.
I don't know. What do you think, Jake?
So that is
the people want to see the scar.
So that is your avatar on Twitter.
Yes, that's it.
I mean, it's brutal. It looks like a giant Nike swoosh, doesn't it?
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah. Anyhow.
You should holler at Nike, see if you could get some sort of NIL thing going.
What, just like get it tattooed? Like it's just one line.
I mean, you've already got the tattoo. You ought to get it sponsored. I don't know. It seems like an opportunity there.
Yeah. We'll workshop
that one. Folks, let's get to it. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. We appreciate them, their sponsorship, support of all things Fan Run. You check them out at one of their now two locations. Hey, they've got actually several locations. They're in Chattanooga and Murfreesboro as well. But here in East Tennessee, of course, the Phone Exchange proper on top of Bearden Hill right next to Soccer Taco. And the newest location is in Blount County, Gill Street in Alcoa. Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. Gentlemen, I trust we have all digested the Florida game. I know that we have to talk about it more this afternoon. We'll do that, but I am all about looking forward. We're going to do that. We're going to talk about Missouri. I think this is a huge game. I think this is a huge week for Josh Heupel and his fledgling Tennessee program. But first, we must look back, gentlemen. Five things I want to see. Bear, are you ready for the post-mortem here to go through this? And you tell me whether or not we saw the five things I wanted to see?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Folks, you know it's not going to be pretty. Number one, no three and outs.
That was the first thing we saw.
It was literally the first thing we
saw. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Wow.
Now,
and it shouldn't have been.
It shouldn't have been. I mean, Heupel draws up a nice third down play. I can't remember what receiver it was, but we had a quick slant over the middle. Should have been caught for a first down. It was just a drop.
I mean, as far as Heupel and just drawing up plays, it struck me. He reminds me a little bit. You're going to have to hear me out on this one.
Oh, God.
Donnie Tindall.
He looks like Donnie Tindall.
A little bit. Like he could be his cousin. Bobby. Yeah. But anyhow, he has proven to me so far that, you know, if you give him a look or if he's calling a play, he can call a play. Somebody's going to be open. Now, whether or not we make the play or not, that's up in the air.
Yeah. No, I mean, we saw three and out the first possession of the ball game. Had several of them. Too many for my blood. So I think we would all call that a big negative.
Yeah. So it's number one.
Number two, win the turnover battle.
We did win that.
We did.
Well, technically, I don't know how you – we had a turnover on downs at the beginning of the third quarter.
I don't count a turnover on downs.
That's not a turnover.
That's not a fumble or an interception.
But, okay, you tell me this. You tell me this. What was a bigger impactful play of the game, Alante Taylor's strip or Jimmy Callaway's drop?
I mean, that's just not even – Alante Taylor kept us from getting – I think getting our brakes beat off, because I think that before we saw the ball again, Florida was going to be up 31-14. I think that's what I texted you and Trey.
All right. So let's Jake, are you saying we won the turnover battle? You're with Bear?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just factual, okay. Russ. They had one turnover and they lost it. We had zero and lost zero.
I will respectfully disagree, but I'm outvoted here 2-1. It's close. I think you all will agree there's some room for debate there.
We didn't
win it decisively. It's not like we had a pick and a turn and a fumble and a block. Like, it's debatable.
Turnovers weren't the only turnover of consequence in the game. Really, was the one that Alante Taylor stripped out, because the other one was just an incomplete pass on fourth down. It was a game crushing blow to us. I'm not going to argue that. I'm just saying that's not what I consider when you're looking at the turnover line. They don't add unsuccessful fourth downs in the turnover section.
But yes, they do. Yes, they do. And there's a reason for that. I mean, what's the difference between an incomplete pass there and a fumble on that play? The net result is you're giving the other team the ball right there. But anyway, we can go back and forth on that. Number three, win the kicking game. I would say no. They made field goals.
Yeah, and we missed a field goal. So that's a big fat no. I think that played into the decision he made.
The punt thing was just, I mean, that you can't have that, man. That's just silly. That's Josh Heupel. Okay, that's on you, bro. You're the head coach, and this isn't the AAC anymore. This is the SEC. Stuff like that gets you beat. And I know we ended up scoring on that possession anyway, but you just can't have it, man. I mean, that's stupid. And you had Holiday getting thrown out of the game. Not a great game for the Jimmies.
Oh, okay. Now here, I do want to interject here. Okay. I don't know what McCullough did. He's number 18, correct? That got the other 15-yarder?
No.
No.
Who's number 18?
I had him looked up. I had to look him up the other
Anyhow, night. His, you know, the other 15-yard penalty, they never showed it. I don't know what happened. I'd say it's probably guilty as charged. I will say, in Holiday's defense, the guy from Florida, that fair catch call was really, really late. I mean, like, really late. So Holiday's running full speed. He's a 4.3 guy. I mean, he's flying down there. And he's like, you know, he's got to be salivating, thinking, this maniac's not going to call for a fair catch. I'm getting ready to lay him out.
And he called for it the last minute. There. I mean, it's.
Well, yeah, man, he leaned into it. I don't know.
I can
forgive that one. That was a heat of the moment.
So,
yeah, no.
We're a shaky 1-3 so far. Number four, a defining performance from any quarterback.
I think it's kind of close to as close as your turnover argument is.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Hooker played pretty well considering the spot that he was thrust into. I would not say that for me, and I might be in the minority here. I'll be interested to hear what the callers have to say. I'm not, like, you know, chiseling his name as QB1 into stone just yet. I mean, I would definitely – I hope he's available because I feel like he's in a better spot than Milton.
Right.
I hope he's ready for Missouri. I think we can win with Hendon Hooker at quarterback, but I'm not chiseling him in as the starting QB1 for the rest of the year quite yet.
I'm pretty close to being comfortable with it as long as he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really jumped out at me about his play is that it looked like we saw flashes of what this offense could be, you know, once they put it all together. And unfortunately, after we get, you know, we're going to have to get some more playmakers in and build some depth up.
Jake, are you sold on Hendon Hooker as QB1?
I mean, I think he's the guy you got to roll with at this point. Because just like Bear said, you know, the plan was in place. We just didn't execute. And if you have receivers that catch those balls, you know, there was some green in front of, who was it, Jimmy Callaway on the fourth down? Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a lot of green in front of him. He executes that. You know, obviously we're still not going to win, but, you know, you're going to cover the spread at least.
And just stayed in there and kept punching.
Yeah.
You know, which is what I think all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, that's pretty much all we wanted was to go down there and for the guys to fight for the, you know, the cliched, you know, give it your all for four quarters.
Well, that leads us to number five, a close game in the second half.
That would be no.
Well, I mean, technically the first half, the second sort half of. Starts a 3-point game, but they dominated the second half. So,
yeah,
we got outscored 21-0 second half.
Yeah. And then once the injury, you know.
So what are we giving them? One out of the five, two out of the five, or you guys are
I'm going
them the
one out of
battle.
Five. Yeah, huh? Yeah, we're giving them a turnover battle. So I'm giving we've got it scored 1-5 down here at the station, Russ.
All right, well.
1-5.
That ain't gonna cut it.
Nope.
That'll get you beat 38-14 is what that'll do.
If you're playing a good team, absolutely.
All right, folks. Josh Heupel met with the media earlier today. He addressed Hendon Hooker's status. We have a kickoff time set for the South Carolina game, and basketball practice tips off tomorrow. Rick Barnes spoke at a media event earlier today, had a lot of interesting comments. We will run through all of that coming up next on your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange, right here on The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. All right, it's time for your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee starts Missouri week with uncertainty at the quarterback position again. Hendon Hooker leaving Saturday night's loss to Florida in the fourth quarter did not return, and we don't really know what's wrong with him. It certainly looked like it might be a concussion-type situation, Bear, but Josh Heupel today saying, quote, he is not in concussion protocol currently.
I mean, he just looked to me like he got the absolute living crap knocked out of him. I mean, not maybe specifically a concussion, but just like system overload kind of hit.
That's what they list on the injury report. Hooker out 2-4 weeks, crap knocked out of him.
I mean, he got the crap knocked out of him. He wasn't ready. When he finally got a handle on the ball and stood up straight, I don't think he was expecting that Florida guy to be getting ready to crush his face in.
Yeah.
So, who's our right tackle, Cade?
Yes.
Yeah, he missed a block on that one. Somebody did.
Well, that'll
Jake
be the
Warren did or Fant.
Yeah, that'll be – I mean, we're a beat-up team through four games, man. And Cooper Mays, obviously –
did he say anything about him?
No, I mean it's the same thing. Ankle. I would assume he's doubtful for this week.
Yeah, especially with the hand to go along with it. Because after, like, once they said that about them splitting his hand, like, I started watching him. So he's half hobbled from the ankle, and then he's basically trying to block, you know, one of those Florida guys with one hand. So
we can get into this later, but. I mean, people killed me on this show. Was Thursday or Friday when I said maybe because Bear, like, I've been following this game a long time. Those high ankle sprains, when it's alignment, when it's these big 300 pounders, those injuries take, like, they usually don't get healed during the season. It's usually something that you don't get back to 100% till after the year.
Yeah, Cooper started feeling better in February, Russ.
I was just wondering, like, should we be rushing him back? And, okay, maybe I'm a loser. Maybe that's a white flag mentality. Now we're going to be without him for what is a much more winnable game this week than what last week was.
No, so. I talked to a coach this morning, and he brought that up, honest to God. He said, you know, your boy Russ was right about Cooper. He said, I wish we'd just – that Tennessee had held him out and gotten him ready for Missouri.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens there this week. There were some other guys, too, who were banged up. I guess Bumpus got hurt during the game. Elijah Simmons got hurt late in the game.
Tyler Barron got nicked up again. I don't know if that was a cramp or if he's got – I wonder if he's got some kind of, like, hamstring thing going on. That seemed to be what he was grabbing at.
Both running backs, Evans and Small, left the game at different times. So,
and Evans maybe. Wasn't – Evans was – I mean, you're playing Florida. I mean, that's a slobber knocker game.
Yeah.
I'm sure those guys are all pretty sore.
All right, we'll see what happens here. Let's move forward. Noon kickoff this week. Missouri, the Tigers open up as a 3-point favorite over Tennessee. They say you get 3 points just for being the home team. So if that adage holds true, this is a very, very even game. And we will break it down as we go through the week here. The South Carolina game. Announced today, another noon kickoff, ESPN2. Not a lot of appetite amongst the TV partners for Tennessee and South Carolina. It's understandable, I suppose. And, man, this is...
Can they not just park us on the SEC network, like that 8 o'clock game that nobody cares about, where they put Vanderbilt? I mean, throw us a freaking bone.
Yeah.
We've had one night game and everything...
But this is what happens. And
although you know, Russ, they're going to put the Alabama and the Georgia games on at 3:30 just so they can watch Tennessee get dismantled on the national altar.
Well, of course.
No, but here's the thing, guys. It has nothing to do with Tennessee because we're irrelevant. And when you're irrelevant, you play at noon. The reason that the Georgia and Alabama games might be 3:30 CBS kickoffs are because people want to watch Georgia and Alabama because they're the top two teams in the country, and the fact that Tennessee's there to get run over is important to nobody but us. We're irrelevant right now, and the only way you get irrelevant and you get relevant and be able to play in the afternoon and in the evening is to start winning some games. And if you win these next two, if you beat South Carolina and Missouri, guess what? Your game against Ole Miss probably going to be a pretty good bet for either a night game or an afternoon game. So in that sense, you kind of control your own destiny here if you're Josh Heupel. All right, that is your Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way, and the housing market is still hot. Showing signs of cooling down, though. Folks, if you are even thinking about, I wonder how much we could get for our house if we were to list it now. Give Bo a call. He can answer that question for you, first of all. And second of all, he can walk you through the very complex situation of listing your home, selling your home, finding a new home. We've all been there, right? Moving is a chore. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group make it easy. This is a very interesting time. If you want to get top dollar for your house, call my guy Bo for a free consultation. It won't cost you a dime. 865-742-1035 is his phone number. You can call or text him there and just tell him I sent you. 865-742-1035. Bo is online at boknowshouses.com. That's boknowshouses.com for Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. Add these basketball notes in here today as well. Rick Barnes was speaking today at his annual charity golf tournament benefiting the Emerald Youth Foundation here in town. Basketball practice starts tomorrow, boys. Y'all fired up?
Absolutely.
Pretty cool stuff.
I'm ready to see these guys.
Thought he had some interesting comments. talked a lot about the team, but there's a full transcript of this over at GoBalls247 if you want to go and look at it. He had a lot of interesting things to say about the team, but from a narrative, big picture standpoint, I thought his comments about playing Texas were interesting. He said that he has not wanted to play them for a long time just because he doesn't, for obvious reasons. He coached there. He has friends there. He just doesn't want to play them. But when they approached him, I guess through the league, about this Big 12 challenge, his reasoning was they're building a new arena down there at Texas. And if you haven't seen pictures, artist renderings of their new arena,
yeah,
go check it out. I'm sure
it's state of the art, isn't it?
It looks like something out of Back to the Future 2 or Star Wars or something. But anyway, he says they're tearing down the arena that he coached in for 17 years, and so he wants to go back and be a part of it. He also said that his grandson's birthday is right around the time of the game, and he's going to let his grandson sit with him on the bench.
That's pretty badass.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Sit on the bench, granddaddy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was asked about the Memphis series. And, okay, this is really cool for those of us that want to see, that think Tennessee and Memphis should play in basketball every year, and we're so excited to see the series return, and then you had the fist balled up, Penny Hardaway running his mouth, and Rick Barnes basically saying, yeah, we're not renewing this series when it's done. Today, Barnes singing a little bit of a different tune. He says, our whole goal when I first started talking to Tubby Smith about playing was making this a day of basketball for the state of Tennessee. The state has great basketball, not just the quote-unquote high-level teams, but so many programs that have had great success through the years. We'd like to have a full day of basketball just to highlight our state and how good it is here. I think it would be great for young high school players to see what this state offers and how many different programs are so good. That is where I hope it lands, that we can keep it going and keep it going in Nashville.
Yeah. I would be tickled to death if they could figure out a way to do that. I mean, we talked about it on the show, like a whole Saturday, like the Tennessee Invitational.
Yeah, yeah. Belmont, UTC, ETSU.
Tennessee, Memphis. You'd have to – the one rub would be, I guess you'd – technically we'd have to ask, Candy to come play.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, Austin Peay.
But yeah, do it at Bridgestone and make it an all-day, made for – I mean, it definitely would shine – because it'd be on ESPN.
Well, I'm just glad that he's thinking about in terms of keeping the series going as opposed to, God, I can't wait to get out of this contract so I don't have to deal with Penny Hardaway anymore.
Well, time heals all wounds.
The last thing he talked about was he's asked about the football program. All right, listen to this quote. I'm just going to read you verbatim what he said. I think our football team is in great hands. Right now at the University of Tennessee, we have unbelievable leadership at the top from Randy Boyd to Dondi Plowman. I think they made an unbelievably great hire for us with Danny White and his staff, what they're doing and the direction they're taking the entire athletic department. I'm impressed with my time with Coach Heupel that, one, he knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows he wants to build a program. Does he want to win today? Absolutely. All coaches want to. He's in it for the long haul. I think if you watched us, we have shown great progress. I think that is a great compliment to the players and coaching staff that they have brought in. They believe in what they are doing. Will they get better? No doubt about it. I hope that we can maintain where injuries don't hit us too hard as the season goes on. I don't think there's any question whatsoever that we have got the right guy leading the football program. How does that strike you, boys?
I'm impressed. It settles me down some.
Now,
I mean, he had a pretty rough go of it for the first couple of years, and he came in, I would say, the basketball program. I mean, basketball, by the low numbers nature of it, it's easier to turn your roster over and get back quicker. But, I mean, when he walked in here, he walked into just, if not more, of
a – wait, are we talking about Barnes or Heupel?
Barnes. I think Barnes did – you make a smoking hot question. Who inherited the more radioactive situation, Barnes or Heupel?
That's a good one.
I think you could make the argument that it's probably Coach Barnes.
A lot of similarities. I mean, you're coming off a lot of coaching changes. You've got a kind of quasi-NCAA situation going with Donnie Tindall and Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah, I mean, there's – and those first 2 years under Barnes were rough. I mean, I think he went 15 and 16 the first year, and then like 19 and 15 the second year. Maybe he's
people are getting impatient. I remember that.
And then they exploded
too.
In year three.
Yeah. So I mean, I get what he's saying. I hopefully he's exactly right.
Well, to me, you know, obviously having Grant Williams, a two-time SEC Player of the Year, spurred that turnaround, but I think it's the same thing. Yeah, it's easier in basketball because, you know, the ratio of one great player out of five is more impactful than one great player can be out of 11. But the quarterback position, and again, we saw this again Saturday, and I feel like this is going to be a recurring theme throughout the season, is he gets guys open, he's a good play caller, all the things we've been saying for a while now. If he can get his quarterback – and I don't think any of us think it's Hooker or Milton, right? Now, he might be able to turn Hendon Hooker into the type of game manager that's good enough to beat the Missouri, South Carolina's, Vanderbilts of the world. We'll see. But long term, if he can get a quarterback, whether it's Taven Jackson, whether he's able to flip the switch with Milton, or whether he goes out in the transfer portal and brings in a new guy, if he can get a quarterback playing, running his system at a high level, we're gonna be hard to stop, man. And it's gonna be fun to watch. And we're gonna be in these games with the upper echelon teams. We're gonna be in them. I don't know if we're gonna win them, but we're gonna be in them. And that's the question to me: is can he find a quarterback who can really do it? Because I just don't think we have that guy on campus yet.
I tend to agree with you. Milton's got his own specific set of kind of, you know, his problems with his accuracy and overthrowing. I think Hooker, you know, if you put Hooker on a deeper team with, you know, if we were a little not as banged up in the offensive line, I feel like he's a mid, you know, upper mid tier SEC quarterback talent.
Yeah,
and he might pick off one of the big three.
That's fine with Hooker. Like I said, we could, I don't know if we pick off one of the big three, but we could pick off Kentucky and maybe even Ole Miss. I'm not like I that's a long ways away. Let's see what happened. Can we get healthy? Can we get some more momentum going? Can we cut down on all the little mistakes that doomed us Saturday night in the swamp? But if he can get above that game manager, if he can get a playmaker back there, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this team develop with that kind of player pulling the trigger for him. Quick timeout. The drive continues. We're going to take a break right here. We're going to open up the phone lines. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. It's Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear and Jake Miller cruising along with you on an Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. 865-546-8200, your number to hop on the G3 Help Me hotline. This portion of the show brought to you by FanDuel. The biggest game of the NFL week is tonight, Philadelphia and Dallas. FanDuel making it even bigger for the fans. 30-1 odds on either team to win tonight. That's right, 30-1 odds. That means you can win $150 on just a $5 bet. So head on over to FanDuel, where the Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. You think the Eagles are going to win, you get +158 on the money line there. The over-under, 51.5 tonight. If you are looking to bet that, go over to FanDuel, download their free app, and get started today. They make betting simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers like this one. Plus, one of the favorite things about FanDuel is when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Just sign up with our promo code, DROP1, this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia. You could win $150 and a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code DRIVE1 so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Get set to go to the phones here this afternoon. What did you guys make of Dan Mullen's comments where he basically said Tennessee's a better team than they were last year?
I don't know. I mean, part of me, yeah, it's pretty cool, and part of me, blow it out here. You know,
it's just one of those things you don't put too much stock in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look at what Nick Saban said about Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah. Well, you know, mind your business. We'll see you again next year.
The only difference is Jeremy Pruitt worked for Nick Saban, and Josh Heupel never worked for Dan Mullen. That's about the only difference between those two.
I think he's probably sincere.
He probably is.
The best example of why you don't put a ton of stock into those comments goes back some 30 years when Rick Pitino blows out Tennessee and Allen Houston's last game. They were playing the SEC tournament up there at Rupp Arena, and it's the blizzard of 93 had just begun to fall here in East Tennessee. And after the game, you just lost by 61 points to your arch rival. Coach is on a little bit of a hot seat. His son's graduating, and the only real reason he got the job in the first place. And somebody asks him, Coach, there's a lot of hot seat talk about Wade Houston in Knoxville. And Rick Pitino just goes, oh, that's ridiculous. Wade Houston is a fantastic coach. Tennessee's lucky to have them. They would be crazy to fire Wade Houston. Why? He's the second coming of John Wooden. And Tennessee kept him. They let him have year five. And as soon as his son left campus and
we won like
year
what,
five
of
the Wade
games?
Houston, we finished 5-22. Jake, I know you probably weren't even born then. We had a basketball season where we only won five games.
It was brutal.
That was either a year or two before I was born.
That's scary because I was at UT.
Can you guys even imagine that? You think year one of Rick Barnes?
Can I imagine? I lived through it.
Was rough. You
went to
think
class with those guys.
Martin basketball was rough. You think Kevin O'Neal was rough? We had a season here where we only won five games in basketball. Jeremy Pruitt won five games. I'm talking about basketball, man.
We got beat. It's the all-time worst beatdown from Kentucky in the ever. It's like 120-60, wasn't it?
Man.
They like scored. They had us by like 60. The weird part was the wins. Didn't we beat Kentucky that year?
I can't remember. All I know is we won five games. And then Kevin O'Neal came to town, and things have been what's our record since 94? We probably had more winning season than losing. Certainly have had more winning seasons than losing.
Yeah. But the first thing Kevin O'Neal did was he restocked the cupboards with incredible basketball players, and it didn't go bare again until, the Conzo to Tindall transition. And then Barnes has quickly built it back up, and we're right back to winning. I mean, what's our record from when Uncle Jed took over? That's what I'd really like to look at.
Getting back to the game Saturday night, and I want to make this point as one of the positives that we saw out of, and more so than just we get guys open, which we're going to hear a lot. And it's true. but what does it matter if you can't hit them? One of the things that we didn't get out physicaled in the trenches Saturday night. I don't think that Tennessee was whipped, and I know they ran for a lot of yards, but I think we couldn't tackle the quarterback. That was my main concern going into the game, is that their war daddies, as Jeremy Pruitt would like to say, would just overwhelm Tennessee at the line of scrimmage. And I don't think that happened. We got push on the offensive line. Our running backs were breaking tackles. That defense, I don't think we got run over so much as we got run around. Florida has great athletes, man, at quarterback, at running back, and Tennessee was not able to set the edge consistently, which is something that they're going to have to work on. But when we did set the edge, they were able to break tackles and wriggle through because they've got fantastic athletes. And, hey, they did that against Alabama too.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's saying that Alabama don't know how to play any defense. Missouri doesn't have those kind of athletes. Guys, their quarterback is a statue. Their running back, Beatty, is pretty talented, but they've only got one of them. Florida's got a stable. So
they got the kid from South Doyle, too.
Tennessee should be able to defend Missouri a lot better than they were able to defend Florida.
I just hope that doesn't come back to haunt us.
What?
Elijah Cummings. That's where he went. Pruitt didn't think he... Elijah Young, sorry.
Elijah Cummings, a senator or something?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine him going around the edge. I don't think he's got 4.3 speed anymore, Russ. Yeah, Elijah Young from South Doyle.
It's I think there was a lot to be encouraged about in terms of, can Tennessee win at the point of attack?
That was one of the things that was so heartbreaking about, you know, right before Cooper got hurt, if you remember, we ran like 4 or 5 times like straight at them with Tyon Evans gaining 8 to 9, 10 yards to hit a clip. Well,
it was the first possession, our first possession of the second half. They got the ball and went right down and scored, and it's 24-14, and Tennessee probably getting set to get blowed out. Well, we did get blowed out, but they got the ball and just started running right at it. Florida was playing back because Tennessee went deep on them in the first half, and this is – Heupel is a good play caller, man. He recognized that and said, okay, we're going to run it right at you, and they were able to get – several like 10-yard runs just back to back to back.
You started really grinding on them.
And then Evans got hurt. He had to come out for a while. They hit a few pass plays. We got the fourth down. The quick slant was complete. And then I would have gone – I know we had just missed the field goal. The ball was at the 30. It would have been a 47-yarder. I would have tried to kick the field goal there and keep it a one-score game. Probably doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
I like the call.
Yeah, we Tennessee came out and was pushing them around a little bit on offense, which was – that was one of the biggest surprises. I just didn't think Tennessee was going to be able to run the ball at all on Florida with the running backs, but they were.
As soon as we got them backed out a little bit, like you said, when they had to start, you know, we hit a couple of the deep balls. And if you make a defense play, you know, right now we haven't been able to force defenses to play us. We certainly did with Florida once Cooper went out, you know, play us honestly.
Stay with us. I'm going to shut my pie hole when we continue. We'll get to these phone calls. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Quick timeout. Your phone call is coming up. Welcome back. Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. All right, I guess to the victor go the spoils. Aussie Gator will have the first word today on the drive. Hello, Aussie Gator.
G'day, boys. How's it all going?
I guess it's a good day for you, isn't it? It's going all right. You know, I mean, Tennessee, we're snapping and clearing. We're on to Missouri. This is probably a bigger game for Tennessee this year than the Florida game.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway, you know, looking from the other side, is I think Jake made a really good point Saturday night. Is your quarterback that you need for Heupel's system on your roster? I think heading into next year, that's probably your biggest question.
Yeah.
I think the scheme that he's got going is great. And secondly, your guys didn't quit. Last year, they would have quit. You know? Mm. And those are two things that stood out to me, is that he was way more organized with the team than Pruitt ever was. And, I mean, Dan Mullen said that in the press afterwards. And I don't think he's being nice. I think he's being honest. That Tennessee, yeah, it's missing a lot of parts, and yeah, you don't have a lot of depth. But I think once you get those things installed, you're definitely looking at a way better team than Pruitt would ever put out there. And Butch, I think. And I mean, as much as I sat there and thought, hey, you know, Florida's more than likely going to win this, and I'm not really, you know, too concerned, even when they went up 14-10, I thought to myself, you get the athletes on this team that are running the schemes and that can actually catch the ball. I mean, you know, that Callaway drop, that was, you know, that was an open field. That was a touchdown waiting to happen. And the 3 points at the end of the second quarter, I mean, that's a tied ball game right there. So, you know, I know that a lot of Tennessee fans, you know, I live and work with them, and they're impatient, like Florida's fan base, you know, and Georgia's fan base. But the bottom line is, I think you've got a better guy than what you've had with Butch or, you know, last year's Joker.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, Aussie Gator, is if Tennessee can find a quarterback. And look, I mean, it doesn't have to be Peyton Manning. I know those guys don't grow on trees, but you look around the country and the guy that Arkansas has got, KJ Jefferson, man, they've coached him up. He didn't look like he could play at all a couple of years ago. Ole Miss has found Matt Corral. Notre Dame found Jack Cohn as a grad transfer from Wisconsin. There are guys out there. You just have to go find one and coach them up, somebody that fits your system and can run this thing, because I don't really think Tennessee – I think Hooker is a nice player. He can probably manage this thing in time well enough to beat teams like Missouri and Vanderbilt and maybe even Kentucky. But you're going to have to find a guy who can do it a little bit better, a little bit more consistently. And when we do that, Aussie Gator, I think Tennessee, Florida are going to play some of these, you know, 48 to 42 games that are just going to be track meets, and whoever has the ball last is going to win. And that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I was sitting there thinking about next year, the following year, you know, when we've got to go up to Rocky Top. I was thinking, you know, if he gets the players, this will be a real game. And I also thought to myself, that guy they put in the last 5 minutes, I mean, what you guys were talking about on Saturday night, he's just overthrown. I mean, yeah, I mean, I heard Baird saying about how he wished the ball would hit Dan Mullen in the head, but and that's literally where he was throwing it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You'd be better putting your third string guy in, probably.
Mm.
I mean, it just seems like he's overthrowing guys that are 10 yards away. I mean, if he's doing that, I mean, there's no hope. If he plays next week against Missouri, he's going to be overthrowing guys again. You know, like he was in the Pitt game. You guys could have been up 21-0 in that Pitt game, and he overthrew that guy. So, but
here's the thing.
You know,
go ahead, man.
Yeah, I think the Tennessee fan base just needs to relax and enjoy what they can out of this season and remind themselves, heck, this is, you know, Dan Mullen's first season was 4-8. I mean, the season before that was 4-8 with, you know, he had the athletes, but too many injuries, you know, and McElwain was horrible. But, yeah, we had a good first season, 9-3, I think, with a bowl win. But you just have to be patient. And it's, you know, year four for Dan Mullen. And, yeah, I hope he can recruit better and maybe change the staff around a bit. But who's to say that he's got the ingredients to win a national championship? I don't know yet. And, you know, I think who's to say he may have hit the ceiling. you know, until Nick Saban retires. You know, it's just you've got to be patient. But I think Tennessee fans just need to sit back and enjoy the season for what they can and the wins that they can get, and go with that, and then see how he recruits for next season, if he can get a good quarterback in there. And that'll get you get a good quarterback. I mean, Ole Miss was trash when that interim coach was in there, and then all of a sudden Lane Kiffin comes in with his, you know, great mind of offensive, you know, as an offensive coordinator, and he's turned Matt Corral into a freaking Heisman candidate. So, you know, and he was on that team 3 years ago that looked horrible. So I think you find the right guy, which, you know, your coach may be, and a great quarterback, or at least a half-decent quarterback, you know, you guys will be winning a lot more games. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Aussie Gator. Appreciate the phone call. Bear, how does that strike you, a Florida fan telling us just sit back and enjoy our season after they beat our brains out?
I mean, there's always an outlier in everything. Aussie Gator's the only normal Gator fan I've ever met in my life.
Oh,
but, yeah, man. I agree. I mean, I agree with a lot of what he says.
It's, hey, man, it just kind of where Tennessee is right now. But it's funny, right? I mean, Dan Mullen, his record has got to be phenomenal down there at Florida. His record's phenomenal at Mississippi State when he's playing against LSU and Alabama every year.
He's 0-11
against Alabama. Their fans are down there thinking about, man, if we plateaued under this guy, can he take us to the – I'm like, dude, you just won the East. You're a top 10 team in the country. What are you complaining about? That'll be us, though, someday. That'll be us, though, someday. Unrealistic expectations, unable to be happy with what we've got. Stay with us. Hour number two. God willing, that'll be us someday. Stay tuned. Jake Miller's got your top four at four, plus more of your phone calls when Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange, continues on Fan Run Radio.